Okay, let's start again. Well, good morning to you. I've got three things I want to do. Two things very quickly. One, some of you know I wrote a book on revival. This is the second edition of it. It's got another 35 pages and a bit of a biography and comments as well. And I've got just two copies here. They're £8. If you'd like one of those, just come and buy one. If you've got the previous book, it just builds on that, really. So it's a subject that's a wonderful subject, and I'm sensing God's going to burst revival out on our nation again as well. And if you don't think that, I think reading the book will just make you realize that as you look at history, as you get glimpses of what God's done, and he can do it again, and he loves to bring it. There's no biblical reason why he can't. So that's that bit there. The second thing is, just feel God wants to move on us before I bring my message. I want to do this separate because the message is a bit solemn, actually. So I just want to do this bit first of all. Just feel God wants to move on us. If you're expectant, I see the Spirit of God's kind of on many of you already. There's a credible love. You know, I was thinking about that song that you were singing, How Good It Is to Be Loved by You. It's one of my favorite songs. You know, and it kind of touches my heart quite often in my normal everyday life. You know, how good it is to be loved by you. And so what God wants to do is just come with his power. He wants to just pour his love on you one more time, just to make sure no one's missed out. He wants to kind of free people as well. He wants to lift anxiety off of you. What lifts anxiety? Perfect love. That's what lifts anxiety. You know, anxiety can be a ball in the chain around you, and it can just be taken off of you. Or it can just come occasionally. And whether it's a ball or chain, or it comes occasionally, it can go here today. And God just wants to do that. And at the same time, God's healing power is here. I was just checking out a quote from this book, actually, by a man called Edward Gibbon. Basically, he talked about the history and the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, basically. It's a big subject. And I was just checking out a quote in there, and it took me to another chapter. And he comments that basically, all throughout history, God has moved in power with all sorts of miracles. And he actually talked about raising people from the dead wasn't uncommon in the first two centuries. And you think, that's quite a statement to make, isn't it? You know, he didn't just go for a bit of healing, he went for raising from the dead. And we're like, well, let's just go for some healing here today, shall we? God wants to heal. So whether you want freedom, whether you need to know his love, whether you want just to be healed of some physical things or whatever, really, let's just, should we just stand together, if you're able to? And let's just ask God to come and do what only he can do. Be quite aware, I can't do this. Don't look to me, because you'd be very disappointed. But look to Jesus right now. Just look to him. There's nothing he can't do. And let his love just come. Let his love just come. Holy Spirit, just come and engage with your people now. Come and engage with everyone in this room that you love so much. Just come, Father. I pray that we would, just like the sun, I had that sense this morning that since I arrived outside and parked, I saw a young man slip and fall on the ice out there. And we can easily slip and fall so quickly, can't we? And God just wants to kind of melt things today. When the sun comes out, it just melts things. And the sun of his love can just melt people's hearts, open you up to him, just cover you with his love, and just create an incredible sense of warmth and well-being. We're not into mindfulness. It's a stupid subject. We're into God. That's where we get that from. Where do we get peace from? Not from mindfulness, not from meditation. We get it from God. So let him come and meet you right where you are. Holy Spirit, just come. I pray for freedom from anxiety. I pray for incredible release of kind of oppression on you. I pray for the fulfilling of the desire of your heart. I pray for just meetings with God right now. And I just release God's physical healing now. Thank you. You heal people, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, you bring incredible healing to people right now. And I just speak to illnesses. I speak to pain. I speak to internal issues. I just say, Lord, be healed right now. Just receive the first fruits of God's healing power on you right now. Just let his power come now. Oh, thank you, Father. And for all of us, just now, finally, just bathe in his love. Just bathe in his love. Just, we don't stop very often, or if we do, we get fearful. But let's be in an unfearful way, just still before God. Just be still before him. And let him speak to you about how he views you tenderly, lovingly, compassionately. He's your heavenly Father. Let him just pour his love out over you. He said over his Son, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And he says over his children, "These are my beloved sons and daughters in whom I am very pleased." We are his family. We know him. Let his peace reign in your heart now. Let troubled waters still. For let wrong thoughts be taken off of you. For let fear of the future go. And just let his incredible love just bathe you right now. Like the sun is bathing the outside. And even as we see it coming through the windows. Let the love of God just come and bathe you right now. Thank you, Father. Pray you just continue that as I speak now, Father, that you who start things will bring it through to completion. Many of you may need to be prayed for a bit more personally at the end, and we're very happy to do that. So it's thank you, Father. Please have a seat. So if you want one of the books, they're just here, and put it's £8 basically, so that's where they are. Well, it's my great pleasure to speak to you today, and I want to speak to you from a couple of verses. Let me just say this right at the beginning, because we are a church that believes in the Bible, we need to look at all of the Bible. Some of it is easier to look at than other bits, really, but it's all the Bible. We are a grace-centered church. We aren't into legalism. We're just free. But at the same time, we just need to look at passages that can make us feel a bit uncomfortable, actually, and also look at passages that remind us of people's eternal destiny. So I'm guessing there's some slides to come up, are there? So we can have the first one. And I want to look at two passages. I'm looking at Luke 13, 23 to 29, so we can have the next slide, please. It should be the passage there. Let me just read it to us. Jesus said, so notice it's Jesus who's speaking. This is not me speaking. It's not even the voice of this church speaking. This is Jesus speaking. This is not Christ Central speaking, whatever that is. This is Jesus speaking. It says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, I don't know you or where you came from. Then you will say, well, we ate and drank with you, don't you remember? And you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you came from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast of the kingdom of God. But you will be shut out. Will be shut out. Now that passage is also referred to in another gospel. If we could just quickly look at that. Next slide, please. It's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. And it's just much briefly put here. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it." Now, in my mind's eye, just trying to help you here, if you put those two passages together, then I have a panorama picture in my mind. Come with me, just as I paint it. It's a picture where you see different gates. One's very thin and one's very broad. So one's wider than the other. We've got two gates. We have two paths, you could call them roads, and both are heavily populated, but one has far more people on it than the other. It's called the broad way. And the other road is called the narrow way. So two gates, two roads, and then as you see this panorama picture, although you can't see the full detail, you have a sense that these two roads are going to different places. The destinations are quite different from each other. It's hard to make it fully out, but we're told that one leads to life. And here's this harsh word. We'll look at it in a little bit more detail later on. And one leads to destruction. So that's the picture that Jesus is painting. It's gates, it's roads, it's travelers, and destinations. And what I want to do now is just apply the zoom lens and look at these items in a little bit more detail and think particularly about what is Jesus saying to us and what are the relevance for us personally and also the relevance for Blackburn, Lancashire, the UK, the nations. So it's a big, big subject. So the first, turning the lens, the next slide please, it's narrow or broad. We're told this, that the whole world, so that includes you and I, this is the whole world, starts life out on the broad road. That's where we start. We're on the broad road. It's crowded with people, and we all enter through birth into this, through a broad gate, onto this broad road. Now, as you look at the thousands and millions of people on this road, it's a bit like if you suddenly look at all the people in a major London train station. It's just a crowd of people. But if you zoom in, on the surface, to start with, people look happy. They look fulfilled. They look like they're going somewhere. But if you turn the lens in a bit sharper, then people actually are not quite as happy as we think. Because under the surface, underneath the veneer of merriment and a happy-go-lucky image, which the media can obviously portray, there are cracks, and there are issues, and there are fallouts, and there are all sorts of things that don't get spoken about very much, and it's just called life. It's kind of the normal life of people on this road. So some are disheveled, many are hurting. Just about everybody is very superficial. And many are weighed down and are actually slaves to society. And not only slaves to society, but slaves to habits they can't break. They'd love to break, but they're slaves to habits. God's even touched a bit on that during our meeting this morning. So that's the broad road. Everybody starts life out there. You and I started life out there. Young babies born start life out like that. And then when Jesus tells us about, he contrasts this broad road with a wide entrance with a huge number of people on it to a narrow gate. And this is a much narrower entrance. But let me tell you this, this is not an exclusive entrance. It's not even hard to find. This entrance isn't camouflaged. This gate may be smaller. It's a little bit like, I was talking earlier to Adam and others, and the, going to a football match, say Blackburn Rovers. You know, even with modern kind of tickets that you get in now, cards, you still go in one at a time. It's kind of that's how it is. It's not a broad route where you kind of go in en masse. You don't go into a football match en masse. You go in one at a time. It's that kind of gate. But it's not hidden. Anybody can go in. If you've got a ticket, you can go in. It's not camouflaged. And yet what we're told is this. And if you look at the history of our nation, or look at the present situation in our nation right now, that there seems to be a lot of people not finding this door. Why is that? Because it's not camouflaged. I put it to you that it doesn't seem to be attractive. I put it to you that we don't tell people enough about it. I put it to you that our media concentrates on other things and tries to distract us. But Jesus clearly gets up and says that I am the way through this narrow gate. He makes it very clear that he is the entry point to this gate. He says, I am the door, doesn't he? In John's gospel, that's what he says. So yes, there's less people on this road, but let's get this clear. Please don't think there's only going to be a few people in heaven. That is not the case. We're told in Revelation that the people in heaven, if you like, are an innumerable host. That means you can't count them. You know, you give up after you go trillions. You can't count them. They're from every tribe, they're from every language, and they're from every nation. This is the heart of God. This is Operation Rescue. This is his glorious gospel. Everybody on a broad road, they kind of seem like they're ignorant of God, or they even, for some, they don't give a monkey about God, if I can put it like that. But God, in his great compassion and his amazing love and his tremendous care, sends Jesus, who becomes an entry point and a place of rescue for anybody from every tribe, from every nation, from every civilization, from every age. What an incredible thing the cross is. Thank you for the cross. Because the cross is the gate, really. And this narrow gate leads to life. And yet people fail to spot it, as for the reasons I've just highlighted. And Christianity isn't fashionable today. And aren't you glad about that? Because it isn't a fashion that we follow. We follow the truth. We don't follow fashion. We don't follow what 51% of the population think is right. It's not public opinion that determines what's right or wrong. It's God. It's God who we ignore. It's God who we dismiss. It's God who we laugh at, who we sneer. And yet secretly and deep down, when things go wrong, we turn to what we fear. Because God is there. So we've looked at the narrow or broad. Let's look at the next two things. It gets harsher, actually. Next slide, please. Because the final destinations are incredibly contrasting. We're told that on the broad road, that the end point is destruction. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to, it's called destruction. It's a harsh word, isn't it? And yet it's a word that Jesus, I believe, deliberately selects. Because Jesus never keeps anything from us. And he starts to tell us the truth. It's a broad road. It's a broad road that leads to destruction. Can I put it to you that many people today try to handle this subject by saying it's called annihilation? That's one way of trying to deal with this, to soften the blow, if you like. But that's not what God is saying. I don't find that in the Bible, because for these reasons, because even in the text that we've looked at, we found that hell is a very real place. Jesus is the one speaking here. The view, it sounds stark, it sounds harsh, Mike. Agreed, it does. But it's Jesus who's speaking, as I said earlier. So destruction, in other words, hell, is a very real place. Do you hear what I'm saying? Hell is a very real place. And we're told this in the passage we looked at in Luke. There will be weeping there. There's weeping there. And gnashing of teeth. And the weeping is in the tense, which means it's endlessly expressing grief. This doesn't say annihilation, where you just blot it out and that's the end. No, this seems to be quite the opposite. It seems to be endlessly expressing grief. And the word gnashing is to do with ongoing rage and anger. It's ongoing. So this destruction is a terminus for everybody, an end destination for everybody on the broad road. We were all on the broad road to start with. If we hadn't turned to Jesus, this would be our end point. And it goes on. Let me come with me. This is just say this a little bit more. In Luke 16, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and lived sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And then here's the phrase it says, you see, and being in torment. It's that same theme. I wish it wasn't saying that. I wish I had something milder to bring to you today. But because we are Bible believing, we have to look at these passages. And it makes it very clear. It's not annihilation. It's not oblivion. It's being in torment in Hades. And there he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." So again, he's tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." It's making things very stark. Not only is destruction a real place of lasting torment, but there's no getting out of jail there. You can't, you'd be aware, Abraham is aware of Lazarus. He's aware they're in different places, they're in different scenarios. He knows where he'd rather be, but we're reminded here that there's no transfer between the places. And this is our message, everybody. This is the message of wonderful good news. It's actually good news because there's a way of escape that we can bring to the people of Blackburn. This is why we thank God for a great start on the Alpha course. You know, but it's only a small little starter for 10. Because the population of Blackburn needs to be warmed up by the warmth of God's love for them. Just like we've been warmed up today. We today have been warmed up by his love. And we want the people who are on their way to a place of destruction, just like you and I were, to be warmed up with God's incredible love. That's our message. And if we don't fully understand it's true, then how are we ever going to warn them? And I sense that even in my own life and in the lives of people from churches like the ones that we're in now, which is a wonderful church, that we can forget these things. And we need to be reminded of them. And we need to know that God really loves us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, do all I can to help you and to, you know, I don't know you. I would imagine there may be one or two of you here today that you don't know Jesus. I'm not the judge of that, thank goodness. But if you've never entered through the narrow gate, you can enter the narrow gate today and you can have the assurance of God's love. And not only that, but you can start a journey of enjoying his love forever and ever. Not just through your lifetime, but through eternity. Eternal life starts now, though, as well. So enough about destruction. It's agony. It's excruciating. Let's think about life. Let's turn to something a bit more positive, shall we? Your life. Jesus says, if you're on the narrow road, then one, you're enjoying eternal life right now. And what is eternal life? Is it just being a clappy, happy, charismatic? There's a bit more to it than that, isn't there? No, Jesus makes it clear. He says, this is eternal life. If you need a definition, here it is. That they may know you. So we, through the narrow gate of the cross of Jesus, can know God. He's not a far-off God. He's not distant. He's not unknowable. He's not a rules and regulations and go-by-the-book God. He's a warm-hearted God who loves you and cares for you. And you can meet with him and you can talk with him and you can relate to him and you can know him and enjoy his company. And his presence is with you every day. That's life. Now, this is life, eternal life, that you may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who he has sent. So life is knowing Jesus. It's a relationship. It's not even going to church. I find that if I stand in my garage, it doesn't make me a car. I find if I go to McDonald's, I don't become a Big Mac. Why should we think if we go to church it makes us a Christian? It's wrong thinking. It's not about going to church, whatever church is. And church isn't even a building, is it? It's the people. We get so much wrong downloaded information into our brains. No, it's about God. This is life, that we know him. So that means that if you're a Christian today, you have life. You have life with capital letters, and you can enjoy the full technicolor of his love in your life every moment, every day. Isn't that incredible? Absolutely incredible. You're not just waiting for a nice warm glow on a Sunday during the worship, you know, about the third song. It's not about that. That might happen. That's a bonus ball. It's about knowing his love for you. Wow, I'm loved by God every moment. So when I drive home, I can know I'm loved by God. When I get a bit of bad news through an email, or I'm still loved by God. Do you see what I'm saying? We've got to remind ourselves what life is. And Jesus said, I have come that you may have life in all its fullness. See, on the broad road, if we're really honest, underneath the happy, clappy veneer and the colour of people's clothing, people are just not right with themselves. You know, some people look more shabby than others, and they're just a bit more honest, really. Because we're all looking pretty shabby, really. But when you come to know Jesus, then you start to understand the word technicolor. You don't just have a black and white life, you have colour life. You younger ones won't relate to this at all. But I remember, I used to watch a bit of snooker on the telly, and it used to be with black and white television. And you know, you see, he's just potted the yellow. Are you sure? Sorry, what's the yellow? But when you suddenly get it, watch snooker with full colour television, you know what the yellow is. You don't need to tell me that's the yellow. I can see that's the yellow. That's what it's like when you become a Christian. You can see colour in your life because you know God. And it excites you and it motivates you and it gives you momentum in life. And it takes away fear. There's a load of fear in this world, isn't there? And this is the message that God's reminding you about. So let's bring it to a conclusion. It's destruction or life then. Now, let me put it to you. Travelling on the broad road doesn't feel like you're heading for destruction. Because the devil is subtle. You don't know that's where you're going. For many, the journey to hell is a pleasant journey. But that doesn't stop the destination changing. It still remains the same. How can I put it? If you don't know Jesus, the Bible says you're on a path to hell. You may be wealthy, healthy, and popular, but that's as near to heaven as you'll ever get. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you may be sick, poor, unpopular, unemployed, but that's as close to hell as you'll ever be. Isn't that amazing? So that's what it boils down to. It really boils down to that. And you know, I just want to think back to one of the songs that we sang early on. Thank you for the cross. Can't remember the exact words, but it said that in a much better way. So, what about for us? As I draw this to a conclusion. Next slide, please. Then enter while the door is still open. The narrow gate hasn't got a wide entrance. It's designed to take one at a time. But right now, it's wide open. You see, today, the door, or the gate, whatever you want to call it, is wide open. But we read this in verse 25 of our passage. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and say, "Sir, open the door." But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you came from." Jesus makes it very clear that a time is coming, we don't know when it will be, when the gate will be closed forever. What a fearful day that will be. When the cross is a closed commodity to people. Oh, you can't get salvation. Oh, goodness me. But that day isn't now. It only happens when he comes in full judgment. When every knee will bow, it'll happen in an inkling. But right now it's wide open. Because latecomers can't get in when Jesus comes again. Don't try and get in when it's too late. That's the application, isn't it? If you don't know Jesus today, and if what I'm saying to you is true, I'm not trying to just deliberately make you feel uncomfortable so I can get you. I'm just telling you the truth because God loves you. But the wonderful truth is this, is that the gate is open and you can come to know him right now. He loves you so much that he wants you to know the truth. You see, this is the motivation for Jesus. Why does Jesus speak like this? Because he speaks the truth. He's a northerner, I can put it to you like that. You see, Jesus gave his life, why? To block our road to hell. That's why he gave his life. To block our road to hell. And our response, there's only two responses. If you're a Christian, it's gratitude. And if you're not a Christian, you need to come through the gate and find him. Nearly finished now. Next to last slide. As Pascal said this, between us and heaven or hell, there is only life, which is the frailest thing in the world. You know, life can just go, can't it? Just go. I mean, I was reminded coming driving here, there's this group of cyclists, and suddenly I remembered one of my friend from Darlington, the previous church I was in. He's younger than me, and he was on a bike ride in a peloton like that. He got as far as Hexham, and he dropped down dead. And they all had to look after him. You know, he's in his cycle, bring his cycle home. You know, they're all talking. I started watching these guys talk together as I was trying to get past them. I'm thinking that was like Nicky. He was talking, and he didn't know that when he got to Hexham and sat in a cafe, he'd die. Because life is frail, isn't it? You know, so we want to be prepared. We're not afraid of death, but we want to be prepared for it. And my final illustration is this, that I was on a journey to Bradford to go and speak once. And it was in the days of TomToms, where they still have TomToms, but most cars have a much better sat nav built into the car than the TomTom was. And you know, TomTom suddenly said to me, "You are driving the wrong way. You need to turn around immediately." You know, it's just because I was in a one-way street. I didn't have a clue where I was going, and the TomTom, although I thought was going to be helpful, basically only had one thing to say to me, and that was, turn around. You're going the wrong way. And I feel like I would just say to anybody here today who isn't a Christian, this is a wonderful time of mercy for you, because you can turn around right now. I'm actually going to give you the opportunity, because if I didn't, I wouldn't be loving you. You can turn around right now and give your life to Christ. And here's a prayer that you can pray. Next slide and last slide. I'll come to that in a minute. Let me just say this to you. Some people think that if you become a Christian, your life gets all narrow and restrictive and dull and deadly and boring. Because that's the people's what they think of Christianity. I used to think that. You know, the last thing I want to do is become a Christian, because people who I thought were Christians looked dull, boring, deadly, you know, and the churches they went to were just like going to a cemetery, really. That's not very attractive, is it? But a young 19-year-old had just become a Christian and was asked that question, doesn't Christianity leave you all fenced in? Isn't it narrow? And his reply was this, it's such a wonderful reply. It says, it does, but inside the fence, it's actually like a garden. Outside the fence, it's a desert. But inside, it's a wonderful garden. And do you know what? That it might look restricted to you on the outside, it did to me. But once I'm now on the inside, what I find is, I can never walk and reach the other side. I never get there. There's always something more to explore. There's always something more to be seen. So that's what it's like, isn't it, when you know God? It's not boring, it's not narrow, it's not restrictive, it's not full of the word can't and don't. It's actually full of the word unexplored and more, and I want to know this, and colour, and life, and fullness, and contentment, and peace. That's what being a Christian's all about. Come on, let's go and paint Blackburn with some truth. And take off the wrong colour that people have, the black deadness of what Christianity is. That's what most people think. So, two responses. I want to pray, just I'll give you the opportunity, for anybody here who doesn't know Jesus right now. Right now. Father, just come by your Spirit. The Bible says that you're on the road to destruction. That you'll be shut out from God forever. In excruciating pain, wishing you weren't there, but can't do anything about getting out. But right now there's this amazing window. It's called the cross. It's called the open door. It's called the narrow gate. It's called the entrance into eternal life, a life of knowing God and enjoying full color of compassion and peace. Peace with God, peace with yourself, peace with other people. Where your habits can be broken. Oh, where your every need is fulfilled and met. Your deepest longings are met by a God who loves you. Oh, let's all just open our eyes and let's just all just pray this together, this prayer. And if you don't know Jesus, then as you're praying this, then I'm just going to ask you to give your life to Jesus right now. As we pray this, we'll all help you. We'll all actually pray this prayer together. But if you've never met Jesus, you can do it now by praying personally along with everybody else. So I'll start and you just join in. Lord God, I'm not good enough to get to heaven on my own. I am a sinner and I want to turn away from my sin and receive your forgiveness. I believe Jesus died on a cross for me and that he rose from the dead. I believe you are calling me and it's my time to respond. I will follow and serve you from now on. Let's just all close our eyes. Lord, just come and speak to me. Lord, I give my life to you right now. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Come and take me off the road to destruction and place me on the road to life. I ask you to do that right now, Jesus. Right where I am, come into my life now. Now, with every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you just put your hand up right now, please, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time? Thank you. Anybody else just pray that prayer for the first time? Thank you. Anybody else? It's between you and God. It's not between me. I'm not going to ask you to do anything if you put your hand up. We'd like to help you and give you a bit of literature if you don't know people in this church. But just one more time, anybody else, you just know. Thank you very much. Thank you. Father, just you know these people that put their hands up. You love them, Father, right where they are. Now just come and pour your life into them. Come, Lord God, just come and give them life right now. I pray they would just know hope for the first time. They would know a difference. They would sense and experience your love in a way they've never experienced it before. Oh, Father, they won't just be looking at other people and seeing your life in them. They would know that you have put your life in their lives right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the three of you. Put your hands up. Put your hands down now. Now, let's all open our eyes, and I want a final prayer for us. I realize in some ways it's quite hard to now just have lunch, isn't it? It really is quite hard to have lunch. But we will, because we're God's people. But at the same time, I want to just say to you guys, Blackburn is in a desperate place, as is the rest of Lancashire, as is the north of England, as is the UK, as is every other country. Oh, Jesus. Do you know that? Well, in my research with Edward Gibbon's book, I found that in the second century, the church in Antioch had 100,000 believers in it. Can you imagine that? That's a big church. And it was a fifth of the population. A fifth of the population. God's heart and mercy is for Blackburn. And we, his people, need to understand the perilous position the people walking on the road to destruction are in. And we need to graciously, not unwisely, not heavily, not rudely, but we need to compassionately and graciously come alongside and say, here I am, Lord. Please use me to help change the direction of many people's lives. And that's my prayer, and I feel that's what I'm here for. That's my heart, and that's my desire for you. Thank you very much. If you put your hand up and you don't know someone, please just introduce yourself, come to one of the leaders here, and they'll happily help you a little bit and help how to grow in the Christian life. Thanks for your time. Great to be with you. I've got two books, first two to come. Get them. That's all I've got, I'm afraid. Thank you very much.